He went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And he sat down and spoke to the women who met him. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "You have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loose. Now the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced that he believed in God with all his household. Thank you for the word. God, teach us by your Holy Spirit to understand you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Good morning. What a blessed time to be in church, isn't it? I just want to begin telling a little bit about who some of you know me, some others maybe never knew yet. I am kind of stranger for you if it's such a deep accent. I came from Argentina 50 years ago. to this great country of ours. And I appreciate very much what America have to offer. We raise our family here. Actually, I will be in August, 47 years since I met my wife. And the first time that I saw her was in December. And then in the following year, in August, we've been married. Can you imagine? I was sure that she was the right one. And God blessed us with three wonderful kids who love the Lord. You ask us if we had some problems with them, sure we did. But you know what? God is so gracious. He brought them to himself. And now he gave us eight grandchildren. And we love them dearly. As I was telling in the first service, we at least we have it three times a year that we get together. And we sing and read the Bible. And I always tell them how I appreciate that they follow the faith of our fathers. My father and my mother immigrated from Ukraine to Argentina in 1927 because Argentina was given free land, and the immigrants from Europe begin to flock to Argentina from Sweden, Germany, and Ukraine and Poland. Amazingly, my father get a plot of land that was 25 hectares, not acres, but hectare is kind of bigger that an acre. And when he went to possess it, he didn't know where was it. Absolutely, they told him that he's supposed to go from Buenos Aires and another 1,000 miles north to the border of Brazil. And then when he arrived to the city called Oberá, that was built by the Swedish people, and they told him that was eastward, wait in the jungle, in the forest that the men never went through. And they were the first one that went through with paths. There was no road. And he found that piece of land with others, neighbors, and just cleared off a small, patch there and built a hut. With palm leaves and bamboo. And that's where my mother was, sitting with a child. Surrounded by all kind of animals, tigers, scorpions, snakes. And sometime my father was gone for 3 to 4 days to work to the first settlers to get some money for food. There was no welfare. It was tough. But the only thing that they had is their faith on God. My mother was telling many times the occasion that they went through. She went through without that. In that area. She says, I have to have the fire running day and night that tigers may not come close to the huts. They knew how to pray, believe me. They knew how to trust God, who was the living one who heard them. I came, I was the eighth one in the row that came when the roads was dirt roads. We had dirt roads there. The dirt roads were now ready. And they built the roads, not the county. They built the roads by shovels and horsepower. They built the bridges. They built the schools. They built the community. They were the builders. That's the generation that built even this country, isn't it? The builders. And that's what it is. But you know, the main thing, it's to know our Creator. My parents accepted the Lord. My dad in that time was 27 years old. My mom was 23 years old. And already they had one child, and then the second one came. And she was telling one time an experience. She says, there was my oldest sister that just a couple months ago, she went to be with the Lord and her 86 years of age. We just buried her not long time ago. And she was telling about that somehow she was busy and she went out of the huts. And there was a snake, huge snakes, and she almost was trying to play with the snakes. She went and gripped her out and ran. She never forget that. Oh, God, help her and deliver her from all this. You know, Pastor Jim read a passage for us. Paul is in Philippi. And the Bible is telling us that he went to the river. He says that by the river, the prayer was made. And Paul always was going where the people were. You do evangelism where the people is, isn't it? That's where you go. And there was a lady who God opened the heart, and her name was Lydia. She was listening what Paul was saying, and God opened her heart, and she responded to the calling. She accepted the Lord, and the Bible says that she was saved in her household. You know the promise? It's not only for us, but for the whole household. God wanted to save not only me. God wanted to save the whole family. This is his will. The Bible says so clearly that Jesus Christ came to save what? Sinners. And Paul even has been calling. He says, I am the first one. God, this is why Jesus came to this earth. To save the sinners. And we must go on and witness to them and testify what God has done in our life. And you know, we always must go where the Holy Spirit begins to work. See, Lydia's heart was prepared by God. And we must join where God already begins to ponder on that heart. And that heart was ready to accept it. The greatest gift is, listen this, the greatest gift that the man could receive is the salvation of Jesus Christ. You know, we love to receive gifts, don't we? Sometimes we were not that fast to give away, but we like to receive the gift. And after when you receive the gift, what we say? Thank you. And that's exactly what you have to say to God. The gift that God has given it to you is paid already by the blood of Jesus. He already shed his blood on the cross, and he paid it all in full. You don't have to add anything more. Has been paid. what we have to do is just receive it and say, God, thank you so much for what Jesus did it for me and my behalf, saving me, bringing me close to the Father. And the only access that we have to the Father is by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only one who redeems us, who brings us close to our Heavenly Father. And Paul went farther and he says that he was going on to pray by the river. As he was going day after day, he encountered with somebody who was there and was a slave girl. We read in the Bible says, telling that the slave girl was there and she was just telling every day the same thing, that those are the servant. They say, those men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And the next verse says that Paul was annoyed by this girl. She'd been just repeating the same thing, and one time he just stopped and says, in the name of Jesus, I just pray. He knew. He knew that was not from God. He knew that this was from the enemy. And you know what? When God begins to bless, the enemy will do whatever it takes to stop the blessings of God. To hold back that people may not know the Lord. And what did happen? Paul rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus. And that girl was delivered. Somebody was not happy. The merchants, the money, the greedy meat people, they were not happy. They'll do anything for money. They don't care. And we have that kind of people today, don't we? And what happened then farther away, when they saw, they begin to tell, we are Romans. What the Jews have to see with us? They came with their teaching. We have our own teaching. And they raised up a crowd against Paul and Silas. And they drew them to the authorities. And when they drew them to the authorities, we're reading over here in the Bible that says that they stripped their clothes, and they begin to beat them with rods. And they made many stripes. They did a lot of stripes on them. And then they threw them into jail. And once the jailkeeper received the order that he's supposed to keep them securely, Don't keep them loose. Keep them securely. The Bible says that he put them in the inner room, in the inner jail. That inner jail, he put their feet in stocks. I don't know what is stock, Pastor Jim, but what are those stocks? How is it? I didn't know what, but I believe that those was the type of things that they've been using in those days to secure people. Inside in jail. And I ask myself, I say, what I will do if something happens like this? I bet you I should cry maybe the whole night there. But you know, Paul and Silas been praising God. The Bible says that at midnight, they begin to praise God. They begin to thank God for the persecution that they endure. And they begin to sing songs, rejoicing. And you know, when those men begin to sing, something begin to happen. The walls of the jail begin to shake. And the roof begin to rattle. And the Bible says that the doors of the jail pop open. And all the chains in loose. And the jail keeper, who's supposed to be awake, he was asleep. You can imagine? He wake up and sees the door pop open of the jail. He thought that all the jailers been gone. All the prisoners ran away. He was trying to kill himself. And Paul screams right out from the prison, from inside of the prison. He says, don't do any harm to you. All we are here. All we are here. And he asked for the light and he ran inside and fell down at the Paul's feet. And he says, sir, what I shall do to be saved. Paul didn't tell him that you have to do this and that or other thing. He says, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. God begins with the first member with the father and he goes run in to the whole family. That's his will. That's how God works. He begins from our heart and he will bless the whole family if we believe and trust him. He will tell me, Steve, I have some people in my family who do not know the Lord. I want to tell you, I do have to. I have my sisters-in-law, my brothers-in-law. I have my nephews whom I dearly love, but they don't know the Lord. They're on the way to hell. We have to learn to step in the gap and pray for them that God may open their hearts. That God somehow may move them into that knowledge of understanding. That the light of the gospel may shine upon them. And that they may be able to understand who Jesus is. How much God loves them. And how much God expects them that they may come to the cross. And accept the greatest gift. That will make the whole difference in their life. You can imagine eternity at stake without Christ. Eternity. I want to tell you, when God going to show you the hell open, your prayers will change. You no more will be passive. You will get involved. Because you love your relative, you love your kids, you won't let them go away. I knew parents who stood. I remember being one time in one of the dorms with Dr. Piper. I don't know if you know by the books that he wrote. He was in our conference for years as a pastor, and I stayed with him almost a week in the same room. I got up one early morning, and I see somebody there, and I introduce myself. I say, I'm Steve, and he says, I'm Dr. Piper. Simple guy. A fool of faith. I remember reading one time about his son Abram who went astray. And he used to get up at midnight. And he describes in one of his things that I read, he says, I grab the picture of Jesus and say, Jesus, tell me where Abraham is now. Will you touch Abraham's heart? And you know what? God did it. He had a faith. His heart was in tune with God. He was God really answering his prayer because he trusted him. And today, Abraham, as pastoring the church, is one of the greatest preachers. Why? God worked through. God is the one who saved. We sang that song, Jesus saves, don't we? He's the only one. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He's the one who is in charge. He sends us to be just a witnesses. Share our faith with others. Tell what Jesus did in your life. And the Holy Spirit will undertake in his time with each individual who hears the word, he will respond. I remember way back in school when they taught us evangelism. They taught us that when you go to the peach tree, you don't pick all the fruits at once. You just pick which one? The ripe. You just pick the ripe fruit. Did you ever taste it, the fruit that been ripe, right on the tree? How tasty is it? Especially the peach. How tasty is the peach? Or other plum. They've been ripe. You just pick right from the tree. And that's exactly what God prepares the heart of the sinner. And sometimes you just go to the right person in the right time and share your faith. And God opens the heart of that person like Lydia did. And then when the jail keeper accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the verse 33 says this way, and he took them in the same time, the same hour, he says, of the midnight and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family was baptized. I don't know how they did. I don't know where Paul baptized him. I don't know if it was enough water to baptize. There. Looks like yes. Paul baptized. He knew that he had to fulfill the command of the Lord. After when he was baptized, when we accepted the Lord. You know, a lot of people, I've been over 40-something years in the ministry. I had all kind of people who will accept the Lord, and they will come to me right away and say, Pastor, when is the next baptism? They were ready. Ready to baptize. But others will drag for years till they respond. You know what the baptism means? The baptism means that it's the confirmation of your faith. You wanted to be baptized. You wanted to go and to be baptized because you wanted as a witness that God changed your life. I remember when I was baptized. You know what? I was not that good. I had bad friends, and I used to live not that good life. But one time, I went to the church, and there was a preacher that was sent by from Armenia was sent by Stalin to Siberia. I don't know how he got off, but he came down to Argentina. And he was, that night he was preaching in our church. And at 18 years of age, I grew up in the Christian home where the Bible was read, the prayers was made, but I never made a decision for Christ up to my 18 years of age. But in that night, when I heard this dear friend, how he suffered for the Lord, carried that heavy wood in Siberia, building bridges and other stuff. And they were not only this, because he was a Christian, they were keeping him awake during the night and work during the day. He says, you cannot imagine how tired he was. But he says, my strength was God. And I knew that I love him and he loves me. And that really broke my heart. And I accept Jesus as my own and personal Savior. And I remember just going after this, I told him, I want to be baptized. And didn't took me a month. I was baptized. And my friends came to see how they're going to dip Steve into the water. They told that Steve won't last long. He's one of us. Oh, they were mistaken. God transformed my life. And not only this, he called me to the ministry. Right there. I couldn't get off from God. He sent me out to the Bible school where I spent 3 years, even studying with Dina's brother for 3 years in the Bible school. Without knowing that someday he's going to marry his sister. Way back in America, whoever thought only God could put the whole thing together. Let's praise God and give him the glory and the honor. He's alive. He's well alive today. He's still in business to change life. We'll be listening to a song now, which will tell us about the blood of Jesus. And Pastor Jim will close with prayer. John?
The blood of Jesus. The blood. Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. You may think you've gone too far. You may think there is no power that can wash away your deepest sin. There is hope for you, my friend. Jesus died and rose again so that you could know the joy of sins forgive. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. Thank you.
superior spirit, which is our spirit, that are the children of God. Amen. And, Father, we thank you for this incredible passage of scripture that talks about Lydia, talks about this jailer. People who needed to ask forgiveness for sin. And the answer, the remedy has always been the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus
Christ. Amen.
And Lord, all these people can sing and they can fake a smile. But God, my spirit bears witness with your spirit, and I see these people's faces and they're smiling because they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saved and they're singing about the joy of being forgiven. And Lord, most of us have trusted Christ as our Savior and said, Jesus, we need you. And if you have not asked Jesus to be your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can say, Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. And Lord, we probably, like Steve was saying, we have many friends and loved ones who still need to trust in Jesus, and we pray for them. Lord, I pray for my family that are still unsaved. And some of them know about Jesus, but they have never said, I believe in Jesus. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I need to be made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you are God in the flesh, and that when you died on the cross, your blood, if we would put our faith and trust in you, it would be the thing that would cleanse us from all sin. So, Lord, I thank you for those here that your spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And right now, if you're listening to these words and you're saying, I need to trust in Jesus, that you would do that. You'd come and talk to Steve or talk to me. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would urge us, put an urgency in all of us that we would pray for and share this vital truth so that people would be saved. Because, Lord, we're all going to die, and we need to be ready, ready to go. And you make us ready. So, Father, thank you for church. Thank you, Lord, that the blood never loses its power. And thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Thank you for this family. I pray, Lord, you bless them. Bless us, Lord, as we go into this week, that we can just walk with you and know that we are loved by God. Father, thank you for this precious time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.